Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hello, church. So good to see you. I hope you're doing well. And it's a great Sunday. We're so excited today. We're talking about that church. It's week two. And this week is a really special week because we had our Vision Builders dinner on Friday night. And so, hey, if you were at the dinner on Friday night, wave at me. Say hello. Yeah. If you're at the dinner, we had such a good time. We talked about the vision. We talked about how we can be generous towards that vision. We danced the night away. And so if you were with us, I'm so glad that you could join us. If you weren't, make sure you come next year. But today is kind of like part two. If Friday night was part one, today is part two. So I hope you're ready. Are you ready? Yell at me if you're ready. Just yell at the screen. Are you ready? Just yell, I'm ready. Good job. Love it. So huge welcome to all our guests, church right across Sydney, all the way from Avalon to Parramatta. I want us to put our hands together. Come on, everybody. Everybody, come on, cheer and shout. We want to welcome all our guests. If you're a guest today, we're not here to judge your journey. We're here to celebrate your steps. And we're so glad to host you for today. We are in what is part two of part one for Vision Builders, which was on Friday night. And we had such a great night. But we are now part two. So part two, I want to talk about our vision this year, which is to be a church purposed for others. And we want to be that church that is serving others. We know that when we're serving others, when we're purposed for others, we're going to grow. Why? Because we grow the most when we help someone else grow. We know we want to be a church that's not consuming church, but actually being the church. And when we're being the church, we look like Jesus. And what was Jesus all about? He came not to be served, but to serve. We're not trying to make church about being served. What do I get? What's my preference? I want it this way. Actually, we want to make being a part of the church about who can I serve? Who can I pray for? Who can I bless? Who can I be generous? Who can I help take a step towards Jesus Christ? That's what we be. And we also know, this is what we know. Listen, lean in. This is what we know. The crazy thing is, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so we're going to be at our happiest. That word blessed means happy. We're going to be at our happiest and most joyful when we are serving others. So let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. Here it is. Look at the scripture. It says, let us consider, think about, meditate on, plan. How? What can we practically do to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, toward love, love for God, love for people, healthy relationships, healthy community, and good deeds. And today we are focused on being encouraged and spurred on together for the good deeds that we could do in Sydney. Good deeds is about action. Good deeds is about generosity. Good deeds is about what we can do to serve our city. And that's what we're talking about. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is going to return. And church, listen to me, this side of eternity is our opportunity to do good deeds. This side of eternity is our opportunity to serve and to lay it all out and to pour out our lives for God's kingdom. When we get into eternity, when we're with Jesus forever, we're not going to look back and wish we watched more Netflix. We're not going to look back and wish we were more comfortable. All we're going to be thinking about is what did we do in this life to serve Jesus, to build his kingdom, to make a difference and do good deeds while we could. How you doing? You doing all right? Come on, I'm excited. So in our vision picture, which Jessen and I, we said before, we share throughout the year in different moments. And in this vision picture, we feel like God put in our heart for our church. It says, we see a church that is focused, mobilized, and on mission. A church that hits the mark. And this is that, a church that hits the mark. This is a church that is making an actual difference. Like if in Sydney, if we disappeared, would anyone notice? Would our city, would Sydney notice if we disappeared? Are we just huddled in our insular club doing our little thing? Or are we actually hitting the mark? Are we actually landing punches when it comes to making a difference in Sydney? God has called us to Sydney, and we don't want to be shadow boxing. We don't want to be just the nice Christians that everybody tolerates. We actually want to be making a difference in people's lives, serving God by serving others. So this is what Vision Builders is actually all about. This is what that church is all about. But our vision actually isn't first and foremost about what we're going to do. It's actually about who we want to be. Being a church purpose for others is about the kind of people we want to be. What we do is important, but we must remember that what we do is evidence and it is reinforcement of who we are. I like what James Clear says. He wrote this great book called Atomic Habits, a great book. He says this about what you do. He says every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. I love this scripture in Daniel 11, verse 32. It says, he, and this is talking about the enemy, shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. Now, the first 1 to 6 chapters of the book of Daniel is really a storytelling narrative. It's the story of the first half of Daniel is the story of Daniel and the story of his life, the story of what God had called him to do, the story of his passion for God. But then in the second half of the book of Daniel, chapters 7 to 12, we actually change style. The book changes style to be an apocalyptic, writings about apocalyptic visions involving weird creatures and amazing prophetic dreams. So the book of Daniel has kind of two halves to it. And Daniel 11:32 is in the context of an apocalyptic, I'm just struggling with that word, apocalyptic vision. And it's in the context of apocalyptic persecution. And so Daniel says this, that in the context of persecution, in the future church and what it looks like, it says those who know their God shall stand firm and take action. So in the NKJV, let's have a look at this. It says those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know, know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So know, be, do. Know is first, be is second, do is third. And essentially what we're seeing here is that our relationship with God starts to shape who we are becoming, and who we are becoming shapes what we do. It shapes the good deeds. And here's the deal. If you know God, if you're in a thriving, real relationship with God, it's going to change who you are. It's going to shape you into the God-designed person you're called to be. And when you are living in the God-designed called person that you're designed to be, you're going to carry out great exploits. You're going to do big things with your life. You're going to make a difference. You're going to do good deeds. You're going to be generous. It's going to flow, not performance Christianity. Performance Christianity says, this is what I do for God. That's what shapes who I am according to what I do. And now I'm going to relate to God based on how I perform, which means my relationship with God is always up and down, but it's not the way it's designed to be. We see here the pattern is know God, be strong, do great exploits. So our vision is to become. And then out of who we are becoming, we're going to take action. Vision builders is the opportunity for us to take action based on who we're becoming. Who are we becoming this year? Who is God shaping C3SYD to be? God is shaping C3SYD to be a church purpose for others. That's who God is shaping us into. Now we have an opportunity to take action. And we're going to talk about what that action looks like. Matthew 5 verse 9 in the NIV says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Look at this again. The peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So last week we talked about peacekeepers versus peacemakers. And peacekeeping is often about avoidance. Peacemaking is actually about stepping in. Stepping into situations, being a minister of reconciliation, bringing reconciliation, bringing peace. But that doesn't mean avoiding difficult circumstances. It doesn't mean avoiding confronting things. It actually means stepping in. A peacemaker steps in, for they will be called children of God. When we are actively bringing peace into our city by doing good deeds, by reconciling, by helping people who are in need, by serving our community, by doing a backyard blitz, whatever, by giving generously to projects in Africa, by building kids' facilities that are going to bless families and put a stake in the ground that says children matter to us and the future of our children is important. When we are doing that, we're going to actually look like who we belong to, children of God. People are going to recognize that that church, that is God's people. They are children of God. We want to be peacemakers. And so a peacemaker doesn't avoid, like I said, a peacemaker steps in. A peacemaker sees a problem, and actually the problem is an opportunity in disguise. A peacemaker doesn't take frustration and not do anything about it. Here's what I want us to get today. It's actually okay to be frustrated by things. It's actually okay to be annoyed about things. But we need to be annoyed and frustrated about the right things. The right things. What makes us frustrated should be things that are orientated towards others, not just about self and preference. Has anyone seen the movie Jesus Revolution? Have you seen that movie? Raise your hand if you've seen that movie. Yeah, wave at me. Yeah, so good. Great movie. And there's this incredible scene in this movie where Chuck Smith, the pastor, has been pastoring a church and quite a traditional church, and there's the members that have been there for a long time. And then the hippies start coming along. Lonnie Frisbee and all the hippies join the church. And so Chuck Smith, you know, he opens the doors to the hippies, and the people that have been around in the church for a long time are not too happy about it. And so they come and have a chat to him and say, you know, you've got to be careful. They said, we shouldn't be letting them in. They shouldn't be coming. And one of the members says to Chuck Smith, they are dirtying the carpet. They're making our brand new carpet dirty because they are coming barefooted to church. So we shouldn't let them come because we don't want our carpet to get dirty. This is what they were most frustrated about. This is what they were most concerned about. The carpet. They were more concerned about their new carpet than they were about the souls. These people who were desperate, looking for God, coming and being welcome and coming to church. That's what they cared more about. And I'm telling you, we are not going to be that church. We're not going to be that church, everybody. We're going to be a church that is happy for the carpet to be dirty if it means people are getting saved. We're happy to give up our seat if it means someone else can come and sit in it and receive God. We're not precious about things. We're not trying to protect our traditions and protect what we've had. We are happy to lay that down if it means God's kingdom is being advanced in our church. And so I pray that we're that kind of church that don't get caught up. I love it. Chuck Smith ends up washing their feet. As each hippie walks in with their dirty feet, he sits down and before they come in, he washes their feet so that they didn't dirty the carpet. I mean, that's who we want to be. We want to be big-spirited, big-hearted. We know in Isaiah 9 verse 6, Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. Yet in John 2, 13 to 17, we see the Prince of Peace with a whip, driving out those along with their stalls. They were selling things in the temple. They'd made the temple a place of trade, and Jesus was not okay about it. So it is actually good to be frustrated about the right things. Jesus was. Look in John 2, 13 to 17, he says, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He was mad. He was not okay. He was annoyed. He was frustrated. And he told those who sold the pigeons, poor pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. And then it says in verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. Jesus had passion and frustration, and he directed it towards putting what is out of order into order. This is the work of a peacemaker. He had a whip. He overturned the tables. But he was actually a peacemaker at work because he was confronting what was out of order. He was stepping into disorder and making it right. Jesus had compassion towards people. We read in Matthew 9:36, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14:14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Compassion is never meant to keep us staying in a place of just feeling sympathetic, feeling sad. Compassion is actually there to engage. It's actually there that we would act on that compassion. We should be frustrated about things, but not stay frustrated. We should act. We should do something about it. God is calling us to do something about it. If we've got compassion for the people in our city, for single mums, for people that are in all sorts of very difficult situations, if we've got compassion, that means we must act. Compassion is not just to feel something on our own and then talk about it. It is that we would be inspired and compelled to act. John 3:16, you know this scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Church, our heart is that this is our opportunity to take action. Vision Builders is a conduit by which we can take action to advance the vision we have to be a church purpose for others so that we can serve Sydney, so that we can shepherd this city. I believe that God has called us to actually pastor Sydney. God has called us to shepherd Sydney. Sydney is full of sheep that don't have a shepherd. And if they have a shepherd, it might be called money right now. And it's a terrible guide, a terrible God. For a lot of people, they have all sorts of guides in their life that are not good shepherds. But I believe we need to take ownership of our city and start to serve our city and pray for our city and bless our city and the globe and be a part of the body of Christ, making a difference around the world, and step in. Peacemakers step in. They don't stay out. Peacemakers don't watch on and let someone else cover the bill. Peacemakers get in there and make a difference. So here's what we talked about on Friday night. I'm going to summarize it. If you want to know the details of what we are highlighting that we really want to see happen in this year to come through Vision Builders, you can go to our website to find out more information about that. Talk to your Connect Group leader. Come and see us at the Next Step Lounge if you want more information. But at the end of this service, there's going to be a moment for you to be a part of Vision Builders. And I want you to know the initiatives we are really leaning into this year. So the first one is our global partnerships. And as a church, we are called to play our part globally. We're part of the body of Christ around the world. And so we have opportunities. And we highlighted on Friday night, East Africa, Child Action Lenca and IJM, which are doing incredible things in a global setting. And these are situations where you and I, we're probably never going to get our hands on those situations. We might never, ever be on the ground in those situations. But our generosity can empower those who are on the ground to make a way for people to be empowered, for people to receive Christ, for people to be set free from slavery, for entrepreneurs to be raised up in Africa, in businesses and church leaders. We can play our part to help the children in Sri Lanka who are homeless, who are needing education. We might not be the ones on the ground, but we can, through generosity, support and make a way for it to happen. The second initiative we've been leaning into is what we're calling SYD Life, which is our digital reach content aimed at reaching people who don't know Jesus in Sydney. Thing to remember is people in Sydney, they are accessing digital content all the time. And as a church, we have to be present. We must be present. We've got to get into the digital sphere through YouTube and through all our platforms, podcasts, everything we've got. We've got to get out there and make sure that we, like I said before, we want to shepherd this city. We want to be out there giving wisdom that comes from God into specific areas of people's real lives. So we have podcasts on parenting, healthy boundaries. We have podcast, YouTube, on how to raise teenagers. Wow, that's a big one. How to afford a house in Sydney. Here's the mission. Our heart is we don't want to just be trying to get Christian transfer. We're not just trying to get Christians moving from church to church. We really want to reach lost people, people that don't know Jesus. And where are they? They are online. And so we are giving towards furthering our SYD Life approach and really ensuring that we are present and more visible digitally beyond the four walls of our church. Third thing is we're upgrading our kids' facilities. We don't want our kids to be down in a basement. We don't want our kids to be out of sight, out of mind. We actually want children to be front and center. There is an ideological war on the souls of children, and we have to. We must step in and bring peace to their heart, bring peace to their mind by bringing them Jesus, by seeing them filled with the Holy Spirit. So in all our facilities, we are doing work to ensure that our kids' facilities are very visible. They're front and center. And we want to bless families. We want to empower families. Parenting is really challenging. There's so much pressure. There's so much, like I said, an ideological war out there on what to think and what to believe. We want to be a church that is in the middle of it. And so we want to create spaces that facilitate that. And then the fourth thing, the last thing, is we want to fund local care initiatives, like things like SRE. We're believing for scripture teaching in local high schools around all our locations. We want to prioritize serving and joining in with other organizations in our city that are doing a great job. We have things like Go Week, where as connect groups, we go out and serve. But we also, there are some great organizations in our city doing amazing stuff that rather than us trying to reinvent the wheel, actually we have an opportunity to partner with them. So in every location, we are targeting organizations local to our locations that we can partner with and be generous and bless them so they can keep doing what they're doing to serve our city. So here's what all of that is going to cost. All that we have in our heart as a church to do together, all these initiatives and more, is going to cost us $2.25 million. That's what it's going to cost. And so here's, church, here's what I'm asking. I'm just asking today that you would ask God, what could you contribute? I'm asking you today that you would pray, and we're going to do that just in a moment right now, that you would take a moment to ask God, what could you contribute? What part could you play? And I know interest rates and all these things going on in the world, I totally understand. But I am saying, let's not back down. Let's ask God this year, what could we contribute to advance the kingdom of God and to see these things take place this year? So I'm going to hand over the team in like 2 seconds, and they're going to lead us through the rest of the service. There'll be a moment to give your life to Christ today, but also there's going to be a moment to pledge and to give and to partake as we look to really make a great difference this year. Let me pray for you. Why don't you just look to God, every location. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this opportunity to be peacemakers, to be ministers of reconciliation, to do good deeds, to be generous. And so I pray, Father, you would bless every person. Use what we have, Lord, to make a huge impact in people's lives. That we'd be that church, God, that really is making a difference for your kingdom and your glory. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. They all said, amen. Church, love you heaps. Enjoy the rest of the service.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.